What do the following people have in common? Miriam, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, John the Baptizer, John the Apostle, Mary Magdalene, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Paul, Jesus Christ, Barnabas, Timothy, Lydia, Naomi, Anna, and Simon Bacchus. What do they have in common besides being in the Bible?
That was my answer.
They're all single. Who is Simon Bacchus? He was an Ethiopian. If I was Max Lucado, I could talk in flowery language. It was a hot day on that desert road. The African was heading home from a trip to Jerusalem to worship his adopted God. He may have been disappointed because of the surgical changes made to his body prevented him from entering certain sections of the temple. He was a eunuch. And on the way, a man encountered him named Philip, an evangelist. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, and Philip said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And I said, "How do I know with what I'm reading? For I had no one to explain it to me." And so beginning where he was reading, Ethiopia honors him to this day. They say his name was Simon Bacchus. Philip explained the gospel to him. And he stopped the chariot, said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "You may, if you believe with all your heart." And Simon Bacchus said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he came up out of the water, and the Spirit caught Philip away to a town up further up the beach, up the coast, away from Ethiopia. And Simon Bacchus continued his way, heading home, rejoicing. What happened when he got home? Well, church history says this. He so impressed Candace, the queen. Candace was the name of all their queens, kind of like Pharaoh was the name of all of Egypt's kings. Caesar was the name of all of Rome's dictators. And so Candace, the queen, built the first ever physical church building in history because of Simon Bacchus' influence. He is respected as a spiritual father of the community, and the man was a eunuch. There's a clue to the gospel that related to him as such, found right there in the passage in Acts. He was reading from Isaiah 53. The place in the scripture where he read was Acts 8:32. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth." We know that was Jesus, willingly died for us, laid down his will that we might live. Verse 33, "In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." This was what would resonate with a eunuch. The NET translation says, "Who can describe his posterity? For his life was taken from the earth." The Basic Bible in English translates it as, "Who has knowledge of his family? For his life was taken from the earth." The NLT and the NIV both translated as, "Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." It was considered a shame to die without descendants. It was a sad thing. The very next chapter of Isaiah 54 says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." So he had spiritual children. So for the remaining time that I have, I just want to appeal to you to see the importance, the relevance of the single people in our congregations and in our community. According to Google, married adults in the last 20 years have fallen from 67% to 53%. More people are shacking up, but the rates of people shacking do not match the rates of that. More people are single than have ever been before. 38% of American adults between 25 and 54 are not married or living with anyone. The majority of those are men, except in the African American community, the majority of the single people not living with anyone are women. In that same age range in the church, it's like 40%. So in our churches, there's a significant part of our congregations that are not married. And I've asked our people to not tease them, to not try to match them up. It is better to be single wishing you were married than married wishing you were single. Biblically, there's a purpose in singleness. Jesus himself said, who was single, in Matthew 19, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Paul himself, who lived a celibate life, said this in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 6, I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this matter and another in that. I say this to the unmarried and to the widows. It is good for them if they remain as I am. Verse 32, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. Verse 35, this I say for your own profit, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And he goes on and talks about husbands and wives and how a person can be happier if they're single. So my appeal today is, in our church cultures, we want to honor marriage. We want to strengthen marriages. Divorce is terrible. It does a number on children's faith. One of the reasons God gives for his hatred for divorce is his desire to have a godly seed. It just tears up the faith of children. And there is a blessing in surrendering one's life to singleness should God call you to that. Isaiah 56 says, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut. So there are people in our church that are worthy of respect, whether it's temporarily single, they're living lives of purity, or long-term single, they've been widowed or divorced or whatever it is. They have time to devote to the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is a key to the early church's success. For three centuries, they were turning the world upside down. Yeah. Single people were devoted. But the church lost that when celibacy became instituted by the Roman Catholic Church. It became an institution. It became demanded. And so when the Reformation came about, they threw all that away because of all the hypocritical celibates that had concubines, and children were running around monasteries and people weren't living up to the requirement because it was institutionalized. It went beyond the gift of God. How did that come to be? Why would they just come up with that rule? Because the church had succeeded, because so many single people were devoted to the cause. They were sold out. They were mobile. They were ready to serve God's purposes, unencumbered.
Yeah.
And so the institutionalization came in when the Catholicism got hijacked by the Roman Empire, all that stuff's a whole other thing we can argue about later. But so the Reformation came about, and the joy of marriage became the forefront. And so the church lost, I think, something there. And not that's something I think the Lord needs to restore, is respect for single people.
Mm-hmm.
So they do not feel like outcasts. They do not feel like they're second-class citizens. They are first-class citizens serving the kingdom of God.
Amen.
With fullness. So may God empower us to bless those in our communities that are like that and make us ready. I'm not suggesting that you develop a singles ministry. Sometimes those just become dating services.
Yeah.
But that they're welcome to the men's ministry and women's ministry of the church, and that they are trusted and developed and discipled. And you don't make anybody or set anybody up to get married and have a lifetime of distraction if God hasn't graced them with that. That makes sense?
Sure.
Anyway, that's what I had on my heart, that we go home fired up as well as have some sensitivity towards those that are single and encourage them. Amen. Thank you so much.